This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and KOJB. That's Steve Call and the Brass Kings singing Steve Call's song in honor of another great Northern Minnesota storyteller, Jim Miller. It's fitting to pay tribute to Jim on a night we talk about storytelling. He told stories with his music, and I'd also, on a personal note, like to honor of my friend Mike Simonson, who taught me everything I know about radio. We lost him just a couple months ago. And great storytellers, they can't live forever, but the stories do live on. And that is, I think, what's important about tonight and what we do here at the radio show. Welcome now to our stage. You know, I was one of these kids when I was in school. I didn't have, you know, I didn't do sports. I didn't have, you know, girlfriends, things like that. And and so oh, don't even do it. Don't even do it. No. That was just bald-faced. I'm sorry for that. No, I did speech. I got up on purpose and gave speeches. Yeah, speech. And I have a number of critique sheets from my next guests in a vault somewhere, somewhere in the archives, deep, deep below the surface of the earth. I'm welcoming to the stage Joe and Bev Jorland. They're two speech teachers and coaches from the Walker area, and they're here to talk about their friend Chuck Beckman, who was another speech coach, a great in the speech world of northern Minnesota. He wrote a couple books, Paulson's Grove, Voices from the Grove, and another, Whispers in the Pines, and they're stories that he researched and found out about from a graveyard here in Walker, and he researched the lives of the original, the inhabitants of those graves, and found out their real stories. And so he put these in a book, and his friends Joe and Bev are here to share some of the stories.
When after Chuck retired from coaching and teaching, he needed another project, and he just happened to think of something that might be a worthwhile thing to do, would be to record the stories of some of the people who had lived in this town in the last 100 years or so. And the idea came to him, maybe from reading Spoon River Anthology or something like that, that he could tell short stories, one page, about people who had lived here at one time or another. And we're going to give you a couple of samples of that, along with the introduction to the original first copy of the book, which Bev will share with you now, and then we'll share a couple of stories about people who lived here about 100 years ago or so.
The long shadows of evening steal softly over the grounds of Paulson's Grove, our final resting place. As darkness seals the day with silence, blacksmiths and boat builders, ministers and mothers whisper of our days in life and those we left behind. In the gathering gloaming, we share tales of locomotives and band concerts, violent deaths and violet sunsets. Listen to these murmurs of days long past and share our dreams and defeats, our triumphs and tragedies.
The story I selected, it's short and to the point, and it gives a really good example, I think, of the kind of writing that Chuck did. And this story is about a doctor who served this community about 100 years ago. His name was Frank Wilcox, came here as a young man and spent his entire medical career here. I arrived in the afternoon train with a new degree from Rush Medical College and a black bag. I performed my first operation on a kitchen table with no anesthesia and no sterilized instruments. One of my first patients was Deputy McCabe, who had been shot during an arrest. I did what I could and put him on a train to Bemidji. He died somewhere around LaPorte. In addition to breaks and cuts, I delivered babies and treated delirium tremors. Once, I patched up three lumberjacks who'd engaged in an axe fight. My little hospital had stoves in every room. During a surgery, the anesthesia ignited a stove, but Nurse Quam smothered it with a blanket. The patient was never aware of the excitement. I wound up with 10 gold watches, given to me by dying men who wanted to thank me for my kindness. After 30 years, amidst medicines and medical equipment, I died in my office.
And we'll end with Edna McGarry, whose father has been mentioned previously on this show, P.H. McGarry. In 1896, my father, P.H. McGarry, squatted on 40 acres of land on Second Point. He started a fishing camp where guests stayed in white tents, called White Tent City. Later, when land was opened up for homesteading, the land department ruled that any squatters forfeited the right to file in that parcel. Since my father was ineligible, on the night before the land office in Cass Lake was to open for claim filing, I went to the depot to catch the train to the land office in Cass Lake. But I was informed there was no passenger service scheduled. I inquired about riding in a flat car, box car, or even in the caboose. I was flatly told the law excluded passengers from freight trains. I could see I had no choice but to secretly get on the engine for the 22-mile ride. I went to a spot near the right-of-way where I knew the train crew wouldn't see me and waited for the engine to move. When it did, I swung myself onto the front of the locomotive, which was called the cow catcher. Soon I was rolling through the night, rocking from side to side as the wind tore at my dress and my hair. As we pulled into the Wilkinson station, I was discovered and ordered off the train. I suppose the railroad people felt sorry for me, alone in a remote location with nowhere to go. So at last they relented and permitted me to continue on my journey. After that harrowing trip, I made it to the land office in time to file the claim on the property that was to become the area's first resort, Glengarry.
Joe and Bev Jorlin.